In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel reading, we heard about the Master who sent his servants into the highways and the hedges to compel people to come so that his feast would be full. And it's appropriate today that we celebrate the memory of one of the great missionary saints of the Church, St. Herman of Alaska. St. Herman was born Igor Ivanovich Popov in 1751 or thereabouts in Voronezh in a devout peasant family, and he often visited the Sarov Monastery, and he spent a great deal of time there and would have liked to become a monk right away, but he was actually conscripted into the army at the age of 17, and while in the army he worked as an assistant clerk, and he continued to stay in the army till he was about 26 years old. But at one point he had an abscess in the right side of his neck and his whole face was swollen and it had a bad odor about it and the doctors didn't expect him to live. And so he spent the night in prayer and he took a cloth and he wetted it and he wiped the icon of the Mother of God and then placed that towel on the abscess, and finally he fell asleep. And while he was asleep, he had a dream that the Mother of God healed him. And when he woke up, the abscess was gone, and it had not burst or anything like that, and the doctors didn't believe it. They figured that somebody must have done something. There was no way that it could have just disappeared like this. There was only a little mark left to remind him of where this had been. At the age of 26 in 1777, he was released from the army due to some illness, and the following year he's accepted as a novice in the Sarov Monastery. This is the same year that the future Saint Seraphim of Sarov also became a novice there, so the two would have known each other. As a matter of fact, had the same spiritual father, Father Nazarius, while Father Nazarius was still there. At that time, the Valam Monastery, which is on the border with between Russia and Finland, had come to a very dilapidated state. There had only been four residents, but three drowned in it as they sailed from the island that this was on to the shore, and the abbot that was left was retired by the Synod of Bishops, and he reposed soon thereafter. So they decided to get some monks from the Sarov Monastery to go there. So Father Nazarius was assigned as the abbot of the monastery, and he took with him four novices. And when he selected these novices, he wanted to take people who would be highly disciplined and able to deal with the very harsh conditions, because Valam is very far up to the north. This is a very cold place to be. So three out of the four were former military, like St. Herman, and so they were well suited for the task. It was a hard life up there, but the monastery began to blossom under Father Nazarius's tenure. And in November of that year, there were two novices out of the four that were tonsured monks, one of them being St. Herman of Alaska. Around that time, the Russian Empire was expanding, and Alaska had been discovered. And a Russian-American trading company had been established, and they found it to be very profitable. And they were reporting back to the Tsar that they had acquired all these new citizens, taxpayers for the empire. But then the church began to inquire what spiritual provisions are being made for these people. And so it was decided, well, we need to send some missionaries to Alaska. So they went to the Valam Monastery and they asked for people to volunteer. And Father Herman, his heart was aflame when he was presented with the prospect of going to people who had not heard the gospel and given an opportunity to preach it. So he, along with nine other of the monks from the Valam Monastery, began their journey in 1793. And mind you, this was before there was a Trans-Siberian Railroad or anything like that, so they had to make this the old-fashioned way. And if you think about how long Russia is, they were on one end, and they had to go to the opposite end and then cross the Bering Sea and go to Alaska. So it took them about a year to get there. And what they found was that the Russian-American Trading Company had been mistreating the Indians very badly and treated them as a little more than slaves, forced them to provide them with furs and pelts. And so these monks began to intercede on behalf of the Indians. They tried to shame the people who were part of this company into behaving better, but they also appealed through the church to the Tsar to curb their behavior. Their missionary work met with great fruit, and they baptized thousands of people, and they established schools and churches. They divided up the area among the various monks, and they even argued about who got more territory because they were so zealous and wanted to be the one who got to spread the gospel to the most people. But of the 10 monks that were sent there, 3 of them were killed in a shipwreck. There were 3 of the monks that were sent to Kamchatka. One of them was ordained as a bishop because he was going to be the bishop of Alaska. But on the return ship, the ship was lost at sea, and all 3 were killed. Then Father Giovanelli was trying to reach a particular tribe of Indians, and perhaps they misunderstood what he was doing. They had agreed to let him take some of the children to a school. But maybe they had second thoughts, but they came after Father Giovanelli, and they shot him with arrows. And he kept getting back up. And it scared them, because they shot him and shot him and shot him, and he kept getting back up. Finally, they hacked him to death, and he didn't get up anymore. But later, the very people who martyred him converted to the faith. As time went on, some of the monks returned back to Russia, but then those that remained, one died, another died. Finally, only Father Herman was left, and he wasn't even a priest, he was just a monk. He moved from Kodiak to Spruce Island, which is about a mile across the sea from Kodiak, and he called it New Valam. He lived a very ascetic life, and he was able to grow a garden and produce food for himself, although he ate very little. But no one before and no one after the time of St. Herman was ever able to grow food on that island. So it was by his prayers and by God's grace that was even possible. He had Indians who became his disciples, and they loved him. He would preach to them. He would read the gospel. He would pray with them. We don't have very many of his sermons recorded, but we know that people's hearts were moved. In 1819, there was an epidemic that was brought by a ship from the United States, and it killed very many people. St. Herman did everything he could to tend to the need of the sick, and would go from one home to another to care for them, and showed no fear whatsoever of the illness. And so even though many people died, those that survived remembered with great love and affection all that he had done for them. And over time, he won more and more of the natives to the faith. He also, anytime a ship would arrive, would come on board the ship and he would talk to the sailors. And he even converted a ship captain who had been a Lutheran to the faith. There's one sermon he gave on board a ship that we actually have a record of because the captain recorded it. And so I'll read it to you. He says, Father Herman gave them all one general question. So he's talking to the sailors. Gentlemen, what do you love above all, and what will each of you wish for your happiness? Various answers were offered. Some desired wealth, others glory, some a beautiful wife, and still others a beautiful ship he would captain, and so forth in the same vein. Is it not true, Father Herman said to them concerning this, that all of your various wishes can bring us to one conclusion, that each of you desires that which is in his own understanding he considers the best and which is most worthy of his love? And they all answered, yes, that is so. Then he said, would you not say, is not that which is best above all and surpassing all, and that which by preference is most worthy of love, the very Lord, our Jesus Christ, who created us, adorned us with such ideals, gave life to all, sustains everything, nurtures and loves all, who is himself love and most beautiful of all men. Should we not then love God above everything, desire him more than anything, and search him out? All said, why, yes, that's self-evident. And the elder asked, do you love God? They all answered, certainly we love God. How can we not love God? And I, a sinner, have been trying for more than 40 years to love God, and I cannot say that I love him completely. Father Herman protested to them. He then began to demonstrate to them the way in which we should love God. If we love someone, he said, we always remember them. We try to please them. Day and night, our heart is concerned with the subject. Is that the way that you gentlemen love God? Do you turn to him often? Do you always remember him? Do you always pray to him and fulfill his holy commandments? They had to admit that they had not. For our own good and for our own future, concluded the elder, let us at least promise ourselves that from this very minute we will try to love God more than anything and to fulfill his holy will. Without any doubt, this conversation was imprinted in the hearts of the listeners for the rest of their lives. St. Herman worked countless miracles that people never forgot. He finally reposed in 1836, about 14 years shy of it being 200 years ago. And before he died, he had told the people that he was to be buried immediately and not to wait for anyone to come. But the governor had sent a message that they were not to bury him until he was able to come. But for about a month, there was a storm, and it was impossible to make the one-mile journey from Kodiak to Spruce Island. And so finally, the natives decided to obey what the saint had told them, and they went ahead and buried him, simply. Some years later, St. Innocent of Alaska, who was a great missionary and really was the one that was most responsible for what the Alaskan church finally became, was sailing to Kodiak because he had been assigned to be a missionary too, to replace the ones that had perished. And his ship was caught in a storm and it was in danger of being capsized. And he had heard about the life of St. Herman. And so he called out and he said, Father Herman, if you found favor with God, save us. And within minutes, the storm ceased, and they arrived safely. The message of St. Herman is that God should be number one in our life. We should put him above everything else. He should be the one that we focus on, the one that we recognize as the one that we should love the most and do love the most. And if we dedicate ourselves entirely to God and follow the examples of saints like St. Herman, we can reach those around us with the faith. We can be a light in the darkness. We can change things around us. We can show people the love of God. Amen.